This is David Duke. This is David Duke, and this is the David Duke Internet Live Radio Broadcast, broadcasting to the entire world with news and information of vital importance to Europeans and people of European descent, wherever they may dwell. Boy, live worldwide. It's amazing the technology that we have these days. Good to be with you. And this technology enables us to get out to the world. The truth that the major media suppresses every day of the year. As you know, and I hope that you've already heard it, because it has already been recorded for broadcast, and you can read the article. I have an article called Beyond Chutzpah. Beyond Chutzpah. It's on davidduke.com. It's also been reprinted on stormfront.org. In fact, my trusty sidekick, James Kelso, is busy working on it right now. He's busy doing some formatting for the article. Made some corrections. I tell you, I was stuck with no proofreaders. I spent so many hours. I must have spent 17 hours on this article doing the research, making sure the quotes are correct, researching this guy, Rabbi Shmuley. What a name, Rabbi Shmuley. Talk about archetypical. And you see the picture of this guy that's on my website with smoking the big cigar. Now, I got that picture. That's his promotional picture. It's almost as if it's a parody. It almost seems like something you'd read about in Hebe magazine. I don't know if you've ever seen Hebe magazine, but it's just incredible. Or something you'd see on Saturday Night Live. But this guy is serious. He's serious as a heart attack, ladies and gentlemen. He is out in Utah. From New Jersey, out in Utah, telling the folks out there, you've got to take in these the African Americans from New Orleans into your all-white neighborhoods. You're going to solve America's racial problems by bringing the African Americans into your all-white neighborhoods. What he doesn't tell the people of Utah, of course, is that he is a rabid Jewish supremacist who supports the apartheid state of Israel and even supports the Jewish stealing of Palestinian land and then building all Jewish settlements in that land. There's no segregation there. He's not welcoming in the Palestinians with open arms and songs and joy. He's not, you know, it's just incredible, ladies and gentlemen, the hypocrisy that goes on in our society. And the article that this individual wrote, Time to Integrate America, and it's an amazing article. I'm not going to give you the whole thing now because it's on my site, and I want you all to read it, you know, take a look at it. But let me just give you a couple quotes of this radical Jewish supremacist. It's just incredible. He starts off, he says, first, they're incredulous that He says, it's puzzling for the mostly African-American guests at Camp Williams, who've been evacuated from a destroyed New Orleans to Utah, to suddenly see a rabbi with a yarmulke about to address them in their temporary military home. It's even stranger for them to suddenly recognize that the rabbi was the radio host whom the Utah papers have been reporting all week and lost his radio show after using his program to stage an event that would assist the evacuees to find permanent homes in the white middle-class neighborhoods that Mormon Utah is famous for. Another quote, what Hurricane Katrina provided through its curse of displacing so many hundreds of thousands of African-American residents is the possibility for the blessing of true racial integration by having those black families welcomed all over the country into white neighborhoods permanently. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, it's incredible. I mean, you think this guy, who's a big supporter of Israel, he's a supporter of the Likud party, he's a supporter of the land grab in Gaza. In fact, he didn't even want the... I mean, Ariel Sharon, the mass murderer of Sabra and Shatila, is too conservative, is too mild, is not radical enough for this guy. Israel is a racist state, ladies and gentlemen. Israel is a nation where you have segregated schools, segregated communities, segregated everything. It's a nation that has all these settlements which they're building in Palestinian land are only for Jews. Only for Jews. How long do you think that Rabbi Shmuley would get along in Israel going to those settlements and saying, we want to bring in these poor displaced Palestinians who were displaced by the war, of course, the war which Israel brought upon them. We want to bring these hundreds of thousands of Palestinian residents, and we want them to experience the blessing of true racial integration by having those black families welcomed in all your settlements, into all the Jewish settlements in the West Bank, in Gaza, in Israel itself. In fact, there's 3 million Palestinians. Let's bring them all in, ladies and gentlemen. Let's treat them as fellow citizens whom we should cherish rather than fear. Is this Rabbi Shmuley's message for the Jewish people or for the Jewish settlers in Israel? I think you know the answer to that. It's really not. Shmuley has also written things. He's attacked. He's very much opposed to any Jewish intermarriage. He's very much opposed to all Jewish education, which also prevents that intermarriage. I mean, we can go on and on and on. And, you know, this Shmuley is the reason. He is the best explanation I've ever seen of, quote, anti-Semitism. I don't consider myself an anti-Semite. I don't hate all Jews. But let me tell you something. If Shmuley keeps opening his mouth much longer, his vile, disgusting, hypocritical, Jewish supremacist, Jewish extremist mouth, I might become one. It's no wonder that if there's been more Shmuleys around in history, and I think there have been a few, if there's been more Shmuleys around in history, it's surprising that every white person in the world is an anti-Semitic, because this guy would... discuss the warts off a frog. I mean, what can I tell you off a toad? We have a situation, ladies and gentlemen, an incredible situation. And let me say something to you, that Shmuley is not just some rare Jewish bird, you know, out there in Utah trying to get all the white people to integrate the community and destroy the fundamental integrity of their community. He is only one of many. You see, he's been published in publications like the New York Times. Jerusalem Post publishes his column all the time. The article we're talking about here is, quote, it's time to integrate America. Now listen to this. It's time to integrate America was published in the Jerusalem Post. That is the most prominent newspaper, or the most prestigious newspaper in the nation of Israel. In the nation of Israel. This is the policy of the Jewish power structure. As I pointed out in my broadcast, and in fact, Shmuley says it pretty good. Let me quote Shmuley here. He says, instead we've seen a visceral reaction on the part of many white Americans to just that proposition, the proposition of moving black families into white communities. When David Brooks of the New York Times penned a recent piece advocating black refugee integration into white communities, by the way, this is a very heavily crime-laden community that they're integrated into white communities, I heard a prominent New York radio host respond, I'm going to say what no one else has the guts to say, but what all of you feel. I don't want some guy who hasn't worked a day in his life, who has sponged off welfare, and who can't keep his neighborhood clean, moving in as my next-door neighbor. He did mention the fact of the huge crime rate, especially among the young black males. About 50% of all young black males in our major cities are either in jail, on probation, or parole for serious crimes, ladies and gentlemen. 50%. And that's not counting the ones that are older that are involved in crime. That's not counting the ones who've got involved in the criminal justice system and have completed it and are out of the system and on off parole. I mean, we're talking about, at any one moment, fully one half, In other words, one black out of every two, one half of all young black males are in fact in the criminal justice system in some fashion right now, being charged with a serious offense, awaiting trial, in jail, on probation or parole, somehow in the criminal system. So when you bring a lot of them, if you bring 50 of them into a neighborhood, you can bet your bottom dollar that 25 of them, on average, are going to be criminals. You know, this is not racism for people to oppose it. It really isn't. And he quotes, in fact, let me give you another quote here to give you an example of what's going on here. It's he quotes another individual, which is very nice. He quotes David Brooks. Now, David Brooks is another Jewish supremacist. He was one of the big warmongers, by the way, for the Iraq War, telling us all about the weapons of mass destruction. And, of course, David Brooks is a Zionist Jew extremist from way, way back. And, of course, he has even said a lot about this issue. Let me see if I can find that for you. I mean, we can go on and on and on. It's just I am staggered. And not, you know, I know this. I've been reading about this for years, obviously, as much as anybody. I know these things. But it's like, you know, how in the world, how can they have this much chutzpah? You know, this is, as I say in the article, this is beyond chutzpah. And the American people not recognize what in the hell is going on in this country. I mean, that's really the question. How in the world can this happen? We've got to get this article out. This article has got to go out to millions of people. And that, again, is what's so great about the Internet. Let me quote what he says about David Brooks. When David Brooks of the New York Times penned a recent piece, all right, you know, advocating black refugee integration in white communities. David Brooks, again, is a Jewish supremacist himself. That's the New York Times. So Shmuley is not just some odd bird out there in Utah promoting to these white people in these all-white neighborhoods. By the way, Utah's got one of the lowest crime rates in the country. By the way, also one of the largest gun ownership states in the United States, which shows you the whole idea that guns cause crime is a lie. They have the highest ownership of almost any state in the union and one of the lowest crime rates. In a very decent life. They're very moral and decent people in Utah per capita in this country. I mean, it's even hard to get a drink in that state, frankly. And they're going to bring these ghetto blacks into these areas, which is going to result in the death or the attack. There's already been individuals from the ghettos of New Orleans who've already caused deaths, rape, and so forth of people in other places around the country. That's already happened. You know, I mean, how in the world are we supposed to view a government position where they actually put law-abiding and decent people and their families in danger? It's just incredible. But anyway, David Brooks and this guy, Rabbi Shmuley, what a name, are not just odd birds. They are representative of the Jewish establishment. They both write in the major Jewish-owned newspapers in the world. New York Times is the most powerful, the most read, the most influential newspaper in the United States of America. It is owned lock, stock, and barrel, and controlled lock, stock, and barrel by Jewish extremists. The same thing is true of the Jerusalem Post in Israel. So when they write and they do things, they're really writing and expressing the viewpoint of the Jewish establishment. Now, the same Jewish establishment, the New York Times, same New York Times that talks about the danger of demographics to Israel. There's been a number of articles in the Times about that subject, about how that if one reason why maybe they should vacate the occupied territories is that the danger demographically to Israel, if they absorb these Palestinians into Israel, how are they going to have democracy? Because the Palestinians will outvote them, and they're also pose a demographic threat. And they talk about the democratic birth rate, the demographic birth rate, the differential between Palestinians and Jews in Israel. Well, let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. How often do they talk about the demographic threat to the United States of America? How often do they talk about the threat of immigration to America? In fact, on those subjects, the New York Times has the exact opposite position. Multiculturalism, is enrichment. Diversity is our strength. Open the borders. The former editor of the New York Times for so long said we should be welcoming these wetbacks with open arms and songs and dances, and how wonderful it is. But he didn't go to Israel and open, you know, with welcome arms the Palestinians. Palestinians who've been forced out of their homes through terrorism for over 50 years. Palestinians, as you know, can't even go back to Israel where they were born. You know, the whole Israeli foreign policy is based on genetics more than religion. And you might question that and say, what are you talking about, David? And while talking about this, the fact that a Jew anywhere in the world, even if they didn't have any direct ancestors for 2,000 years that lived in Israel, you know, any Jew anywhere in the world can go back to Israel and get a very handsome financial reward. Sometimes it goes up to hundreds of thousands of dollars to move to Israel. Preferential treatment, automatic citizenship in Israel, and he's not even a Jewish by religion. He's simply a Jew by descent. He can be an atheist and get it. See, it's not about religion. Religion is part of it, yes. But it's more about genetics. It's more about descent than it is in terms of religion. A great deal of Israel, by the way, the Jewish population of Israel are atheists. I know that's hard for some people to understand because often they tell you that the Jews are simply a religion. How can you have this religious prejudice and so forth? And that's just not true. They see themselves as a people. Israel has laws against marriage between Jews and non-Jews. They don't even legally recognize if you're married to if a Jew's married to a non-Jew, their marriage is not even recognized in that country. See, all your legal rights are forfeit in terms of a married couple. And the Israeli state, the Jewish state, has even prevented Jews from marrying Jews. That's right, the Jewish priest class, the Kohanim, which are like the elite of Israel. It's like the traditional elite breeding ground of the Jewish, who knows how much impact they really have anymore. But the point is they're traditionally like the Jewish priest class, the Kohanim. They are not allowed to marry even a bona fide Jew if they have just even a drop of Gentile blood. And as I say in my broadcast, you know, that you can hear earlier today, and I did that, of course, very strictly and very well by the text, I think, not as rambling a little bit as this. As I say in the broadcast, their racial purity law in this respect about marriage is stronger than the racial laws of the Third Reich under Hitler. In fact, the elite in Germany, the SS, had to prove their purity, you know, 8 generations back. Whereas the Jews, even to marry one of the Jewish elite, you have to prove your purity all the way back to Jacob. Ladies and gentlemen, the hypocrisy is incredible. What is this Jew from New Jersey doing in the middle of Christian Utah, telling these people who they have to accept in their neighborhoods? It's absolutely incredible. This story is such a powerful story. This can be one of the greatest wake-up call articles that I think I've ever written. And now it's up to you to get this story out. Let me give you, I'm going to close and go to some of the emails and some of the posts. But let me see what... Okay, great. Okay, I was looking at James. He was doing some editing on the story. In fact, I'm going to send him a little note right now on AIM. I told him just do the formatting just as in the original article. Bolds, indents. Everything. Use the one on my post. That's the latest. Use davidduke.com for reference to formatting. Thanks, James. Okay, so let me give you, and I'm not going to give you the whole speech and spiel here from this article, but let me tell you just for fun. What I told Rabbi Shmuley, what a name, in my letter. I said, these were my words. The last words of this essay I will address directly to Rabbi Shmuley. As for you, Rabbi Shmuley, you should get the hell out of Utah. Go preach your destructive policies to the only nation to which you are loyal, Israel. Our people don't want your smug Jewish supremacist hypocrisy. We don't want the guilt you seek to put upon us. You Jewish supremacists have enough sins for the whole of humanity. Rabbi Shmuley, you represent the ultimate chutzpah. In fact, perhaps you go beyond chutzpah. I am glad you put into clear words what I've been trying to explain to my people for years. You have inadvertently done me a big favor by sticking your big nose hypocrisy, into the affairs of the people of Utah. And your hypocrisy is so damned obvious to anyone but the brain dead in America. Thank you, Rabbi, for exposing Jewish extremist hypocrisy to millions of people around the world. Now, why don't you get the hell out of America and go where you belong, to your apartheid state of Israel? Amen, ladies and gentlemen. You know, absolutely. This man is not an American. You know, this man is a Jewish supremacist. And, you know, it's just absolutely amazing that he can get away with what he can get away with. And again, it is not just Rabbi Shmuley that we have a problem with here. It's the New York Times. It's the Jerusalem Post. It's the Jewish power structure in America that is doing exactly what Rabbi Shmuley wants. You know, Rabbi Shmuley obviously knows that integration is not good for Israel or the Jewish people. He knows that the Jewish people need to maintain a majority. He knows that he wants to preserve his culture and heritage for the Jewish people because he thinks that is good for his people. He knows that any people in a nation must preserve, you know, their numbers if they're going to survive as a people. That's natural. And for people to want to do that is natural. Now, some of the oppression that has been going on in Israel isn't so natural. You know, you can preserve your heritage without trying to hurt or suppress or murder or commit genocide against others. And it seems like the Jewish supremacists have never learned how to do that yet. But ladies and gentlemen, here's the situation. He knows that forced integration and immigration is bad for America. He can't help but know it because he practices every day the opposite when it comes to the Jewish people. So what's up, ladies and gentlemen? Does this man really want what's best for the white people of this country, or even for the black people of this country, for that matter? I don't think so. I think he knows that these policies will weaken and destroy us. And I think he realizes that. In fact, I quote from Rabbi Shmuley about another article trying to encourage Jews to marry each other. And he talks about how that in one of the synagogues for a singles gathering of men and women Jews, there was one blonde, in fact, in his own words, were Aryan, blue-eyed, looking blonde, who was obviously converting to Judaism from the South. And he said of the 60 Jewish men there, you know, all of them were agape at the blonde, blue-eyed girl, and 10 of them came up to him and asked him questions. Do you know the girl? How can I meet the girl? And so forth. And not one Jewish guy came and asked him a question about any of the Jewish women at this meeting. And he was talking about how he felt so bad for the Jewish women there and for the Jewish people. You know, this guy hates us. Let's just put it simply and purely. He hates us. And the people that are controlling the media, they hate us. A while back, you know, I quoted, in fact, from a very good article, not a good article, but a shocking article, from Emmanuel Winston. It's one of the leading commentators in Israel. Emmanuel Winston was the main guy at the website of Gamla, which was a big supporter of Benjamin Netanyahu, which, again, goes right down the line of Rabbi Shmuley. And Winston talks about European people, and he says he can't wait for Europe to become a graveyard. And he talks about how that all the Jews, the Europeans, nothing but prostitutes and murderers, and et cetera, et cetera. Vicious, just vicious against our people. And he says every Europe, he starts going through all the European nationalities. They're all killers. They're all coming to kill the Jew. You know, they're all vicious, homicidal maniacs. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that goes on. They hate us. And these policies are policies that they mean to make a revenge against us. They, you know, I really think that Rabbi Shmuley gets a smug satisfaction in one of these gangster rappers from New Orleans, beds down with one of these, pure as silk, Utah girls. Blonde-haired, blue-eyed, angelic-looking girls. I think he'll get a satisfaction out of that. You know, one more shiksa bites the dust. You know, one more destructive blow against their hated enemy. And this article shows that. This article is powerful, and it's going to be up to you to get this article out. And I hope that I can rely on you to post this article on as many websites as you can, all over the United States and, in fact, the world. You can post your questions on davidduke.com at info1@davidduke.com. Actually, it's info2@davidduke.com. And you can also you can send me an email at info2@davidduke.com or go to Town Hall, Stormfront Town Hall section on stormfront.org, and you can post directly there your comments, which will be read not just only by me and by our readers, but by many thousands of people all over the world. Night Owl says, my mom's Polish friend married a guy from Uruguay. He's of Italian origin and has yellow hair. The kids go to college for free because they're Hispanic. But it seems that PC people try to confuse Americans on the race issue of Mexicans on those very Yiddish ad council, so-called public service ads, tells us that it's hate to say something hurtful about if someone has a different religion, Jews, or speaks a different language, Mexicans. They can't deny race with blacks, but they want to confuse the average person about racial difference with Jews and Hispanics, pulling the Bozian excuse of culture once again. Well, they do, and sometimes it is confusing for people. And because a number of the mixed bloods from South America look more white, it's really an easier cross for white people to make. And you'll find a lot more racial crossing that will go with someone of Hispanic origin or part mestizo origin, or even part Oriental origin, than you will see a direct African. And but that's part of the plan. Again, there are certainly Hispanics who are as white as any of us listening to this program, and there are millions of such in South America and Central America and around the world. And I do believe someday that we will unite with those people in a common cause and a common ideal, and that's coming. And there are many people down there in those areas who recognize their heritage. Let me tell you, there's an elite in Brazil, which is very white. And I met many of them in a trip to Brazil years ago, right after I was elected. And I met with a number of different leaders in that part of the world against the Zionists and also for defense of our European heritage. And it's amazing the amount of awareness that goes on. Brazil's got a terrible racial problem. These slums in Brazil produce incredible murders. I mean, they're very dark, they're very black, and they have about 6,000 murders in Rio de Janeiro every year. They literally, in the last 10 years, had more people killed in Rio de Janeiro from murder than we lost of men in the Vietnam War. So, I mean, there's a terrible problem there. Uruguay is a very white country. Argentina has got a very strong and large white population. And again, in the other countries, in Venezuela, there's a strong white population, and Costa Rica is very European in terms of its percentages. So we don't need to write these people off, but we have to understand that a lot of people flooding into America right now from Mexico aren't truly Europeans. In fact, they might have a small amount of European blood or none at all. Many of them are mestizos. Many of them are just pure Mexican from the native population before the Spanish came. You know, the Spanish came obviously to Mexico, but the fastest breeders were the were the natives. Once the European methods of sanitation and diet and organization and order and sewage and all the rest of it came in, the population exploded. Mexico has a huge exploding population today. And let me tell you, that population, as it is all over the world, is not exploding among the whitest elements. It's exploding among the most non-white elements of that country. But again, they're closer. And by the way, I mean, I'm not trying to put down every Mexican. I mean, I know Mexicans that I respect and that I like. I talked in one of my posts earlier. In fact, I know some Mexicans who are so white, it's amazing. I mean, I know one Mexican who, he's a very old, he's so old now, I think he's dead. He was one of the founders of the university in Guadalajara. He fought with the Waffen SS in the Second World War. He was of pure Spanish descent. And he went to fight the Bolsheviks with the Germans in the Second World War. And I know Mexicans who are dark Mexicans who are very decent people and good people. But ladies and gentlemen, I don't want the United States of America to become Mexico. And I know this influx of illegal immigrants coming into this country are bringing huge problems with them. And we're seeing great swaths of our land, our communities, being basically changed from the United States of America to Mexico with their kind of standards, the kind of trash you see all over the place like you see in Mexico, you know, the kind of bribery and corruption that you see in Mexico, and a whole reflection of the society that exists there. Now, there are many places in Mexico that are very beautiful. I mean, Guadalajara, for instance, is a beautiful old city. Mexico City's got some beautiful places in it. You know, Puerto Vallarta. I mean, so many places in Mexico are fantastic. But there are huge social problems in Mexico. A lot of people in Mexico live in homes where they just have dirt on the floor. And yet Mexico is a very rich nation resource-wise. They've got vast amounts of oil that they have in their fields. They've got rich jungles. They've got mountains. They've got minerals. You know, they've got natural seaports. They have coasts on both the Gulf of Mexico, the Atlantic side, and also the Pacific side. They are gateway between the United States and South America, so trade benefits there. They have the many benefits of trade with the United States that are close, a huge consuming country. They've got huge numbers of economic benefits and resource benefits in Mexico, but Mexico obviously is a basket case. Now, are those that say that everything is a matter of culture? If the Mexican government would have been a little different, you know, then everything would be hunky-dory in Mexico. Well, Mexico's had many different governments. They had a constitution once modeled almost exactly after the United States Constitution. But that constitution didn't do any good. People make constitutions. People make governments. People make societies, not the other way around. It's like, which comes first, chicken and the egg? They always want to say that culture makes people behave a certain way, but people create culture. I mean, if culture is the only determining point or the individual environment of a single generation, then how in the world did people ever get out of the Stone Age? How did people who didn't know how to write ever learn to write? Because the environment certainly wasn't conducive. At one time, there were no schools. At one time, there was no written language. So how did these things develop? You know, there was no formal, you know, the liberal dream of a good educational system didn't exist. They didn't even exist anywhere in the world, yet these things developed. And I suggest that it came out of the soul of the people, and that people, you know, are the real power of a society. You have great people, you have great, great countries. Now, just because they don't live, by the way, as we live, doesn't make them necessarily inferior or are terrible. You know, the Indians had their own culture in Mexico. I don't particularly care for it. You know, I don't like the way they lived, but they, you know, they've got a right to it. You know, let them live. And if Mexicans want to create a certain kind of society, let them do that. But my God, we've got the right and the privilege to preserve our form of society and not be overrun in the world. The true minority in the face of the world is the European people. The European people are the smallest group of people of any major race. And we are losing our population greatly with every generation because our birth rates are so low for a lot of reasons. One of the reasons they are low is because of the economic pressures that have come about from immigration. and the lower wages and the difficulties and just the mess that's been created in our societies that are not conducive to people wanting to have children. You know, white people generally, European people, want to have children where they feel those children will be safe and sound and where they can give them a good life and good opportunity. Often whites wait to have children, in fact, to where they can afford a higher education, a better education for the kids and a better life because of their concern. That's part of the kind of foresight that are part of white people today. But at the same time, it's not doing us much good in this respect that we're being outnumbered. And those that don't have the same views towards society as our people do, you know, are going to become the majority in community after community, state after state, and eventually our nation will be torn like a huge Tower of Babel. And the people sitting above all this and who have dictated this and who have launched this immigration policy to this country, Dr. Kevin McDonald does a fine job of it. I think I do a fine job of it at my book, Jewish Supremacism and My Awakening. This whole effort to change America from a majority European-American nation to a non-white nation, the entire effort has been led by Jewish supremacists and Jewish organizations. They have been the driving force. There's no argument about this. There's not even any real debate about it. It's just stone cold fact. That's just the way it is. If you want to read my book, you can see the facts, see the figures, see the organizations involved. Find who the leaders were in the Congress of the United States to change our immigration laws. Find who pushed it in the media. Find out who pushed it in terms of the scientists and told us that race didn't make any difference and that it was, you know, going to be a great benefit to us when we became a third world country by population. So, you know, just it's cold hard facts, ladies and gentlemen. But at the same time, as I point out in the article that I wrote about Shmuley, at the same time they worked to make European Americans a minority in this country, where they have so much power, they were working to make Jews a vast majority, increase the population of Jews in Israel. Just like Shmuley, who is talking about in his article, one of his articles, of course, not he didn't talk about this at the same time, he's talking about bringing blacks into Utah, so he wants 100 million Jews, you know, in the world. He wants to increase their population, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, that's the double standard, and it's such an interesting phenomenon. If it weren't so horrifying and it weren't so just incredibly evil what's going on, it would be something so fascinating just to study from a standpoint of interest. And I think a lot of people get into this cause from the standpoint of simple, you know, intellectual interest. They just get involved. They see some of these things, and it fascinates them. They start learning about this hypocrisy, and they start reacting to it, and they want to learn more. And eventually they become knowledgeable. And some of them realize that this is not some sort of intellectual game that we're dealing with here. This is not a question of whether or not someone's right about a physical concept, you know, of heat or evaporation or a chess game or a football game. This is not a simple intellectual jousting match. This is literally a battle for our essence, for our survival as a people, for the survival of our kind of life on this planet. You know, even an earthworm will struggle to get away from you if you try to step on it, or a roach or an ant. You know, and survival is a natural instinct. And the media has so perverted our instinct. The Jews are healthy in this instinct. I mean, the Jews, like Shmuley, want to survive. But the interesting thing is they want to survive by hurting our ability to survive. That's how they see their power increases. If our power weakens, they see their power increasing. If our power weakens, they see their power increasing. Actually, the truth is that people like Shmuley, what an opportunity. I mean, The Jews came out of the shuttles of the Middle East, you know, and they came into Europe. They've been given tremendous. I mean, look at the Jewish position of power, the influence they have in education, the influence they have in media, the influence they have in finance, the influence they have in so many different areas of life in the world. They are the richest per capita group in the United States of America. You know, why do they have to bite the hand that feeds them? You know, they've enjoyed a tremendous benefit from living among us. but they just got something inside of them that says, man, we've got to destroy these people. They hate us. Maybe it's envy. I don't know what it is. It's part of their Jewish supremacy. You know, they are God's chosen, which, by the way, is that moniker itself is the epitome of supremacy. I mean, it's one thing, you could say that evolution favors one race, and if you say that, well, somebody could argue about it scientifically. No, I think this scientific fact refutes that. But when you simply say, well, God has made me above everybody else, I'm the favorite of God, and you're second-class citizens in God's eyes because I'm the chosen of God, and you just have to have deference to me because God, there's very little argument about that, is there? It's very difficult. Of course, a lot of people, I think, can argue that fact. Some of these brainwashed Christians who are not really Christian evangelicals anymore, but they're nothing more than Jewish evangelicals and Israeli evangelicals, will often say, well, the Jews are the chosen of God, even though the New Testament, which Christians are supposed to follow as their main understanding of what Christianity is and Christ and so forth. The New Testament says very clearly, the chosen are those that accept Christ, who believe in these ideas. And that's open to anybody in the New Testament. But the Jewish people believe they're chosen by God by blood. And the same thing is true of the Christians, because what they're saying is, even though the Jews are not Christians, they're simply the chosen people of God because of their blood, because of their race. I mean, how close is that to the, quote, master race theory of the Third Reich? It's very similar, isn't it? The idea that one people is a chosen people, and the idea that one race is a master race. It's just interesting, but these kind of parallels just are not brought up in our society. Well, the Shmuley article should educate an awful lot of people about these ideas, because his chutzpah should put this whole issue into a very clear perspective for many, many, many of our people. And I hope that all of you reading that article will do what you can to spread it around. This is from one of our readers. Just got this email in 1 second ago. I've got a bunch of others to read, too, that have been coming in while I've been speaking. Hello, Mr. Duke. This is from Sir Bradliff. Hello, Mr. Duke. Can you please tell me where all the white leaders are in our movement? Why is it that all I ever see is white fools trying to push this idiotic false idea of political correctness? Are all whites such, I want to use that word, he uses, suck faces, I guess, to the Jewish destruction of our people? What have you been saying for years is so scary and truthful that you would think that some powerful whites would take a stand? What is wrong with white elites? I feel like the guy in the movie Tora, 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 when he asked his partner, as the Japanese were bombing Pearl Harbor, where are all our fighters? Please reply. Thank you. Good question. You know, but you have to realize that the whole system has been constructed. And it wasn't a system that came in overnight. It was a system that took years and years to, put in place. They've created a system where those white betrayers of our people and heritage advance according to their positions on these issues. And they have learned very, very quickly and very thoroughly that if they dare to rock the boat or speak out on these issues intelligently and courageously, that they are going to be severely punished. And so there's so many pressures on people. There's financial pressures. There's social pressures. People don't want to be thought of badly. There's physical pressures. Many, many things that go on. It is disgraceful, though, what has happened. But, ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you there are more and more people that are learning the truth, and there's this tremendous awakening going on under the surface right now among our people. The Internet is partially responsible for this, but it's not just the Internet. It's people talking and sharing information. And I think someday that this surface is going to break. We've had a few pricks of this, what's the word for it, for this condom that's been put around our political establishment, our people, to prevent them from expressing themselves and thoroughly reaching the honest truth to all of our fellow European Americans around America and the world. So, you know, we've seen that. I remember in my election in Louisiana when Duke Sound sprouted up like mushrooms after the rain. I mean, you know, when people finally saw the idea that they could stand up for someone. And I got tremendous votes. I got 65% of the white vote, which is probably the biggest in a major election. Now, we're not talking about just a little small little, you know, election in some, you know, little village of seven or eight people in Maine or Vermont. I'm talking about, you know, of a major state, the state the size of many European countries, and 65%. There's not been a vote like that. And I think that's, I did lose with the power of the, some of the black bloc vote. But this is the kind of passion, and this is the kind of support, I think, that can be unleashed if we just continue to work, have some faith, and educate our people. As I said so many times, you have a tremendous tool right in front of you right now. You're at the computer, your keyboard. You got 10 fingers, and with those 10 fingers, you can reach 10,000 people in the next 24 hours if you have enough desire to do so. You know, the post about Shmuley can be on 5,000 forums by tomorrow morning. If simply, ladies and gentlemen, we had a little interruption there in our program. We lost a few of our listeners as well from the interruption. I'm going to go on for a few more minutes, but we're going to go ahead, and we've almost come to the end of our time for our program anyway. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a great show. I've been glad to be with you, and I will certainly be with you again tomorrow night on Monday. Until then, I just want to tell you, God bless and take care. Bye-bye.
This has been David Duke for our heritage and our freedom.